To turn with me to John chapter 12, John chapter 12, verse 1, and I want to read through verse 11. As we come to God's Word, let's seek the guidance of God's Spirit to help us understand it, and even willing to apply it before we read it. Will you pray with me? Age to age, you still are the same God who created Adam and Eve, the same God who called Abraham and blessed him and promised that through him all peoples of the earth would be blessed. We are such blessed people. You're the same God who spoke then and then spoke not only through your prophets in the Old Testament, but spoke again through your writers of the New Testament. And Father, before us is the very truth that has never changed. It is yours. Holy Spirit, we need your help, and that has not changed either, for we cannot understand in the natural mind the things of the Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, give us insight and understanding. And not only that, but grant us the courage, even now, to commit to you, to obedience, whatever it is that your word has to say to us this day. Please do your work in our hearts and lives and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 6 days before the Passover, you realize that this is the last Passover coming up. This is the Passover for which Christ has come. This is why Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. This is why Christ suffered the things that he suffered on this earth, that he might come and sacrifice himself. He came to seek and to save we who were lost. This is the Passover coming up, and it is just before that Passover. You remember he left the region because they were after his life, and not just because they were after him to kill him, but because it wasn't time for him to die. But that Passover is rapidly approaching, and it is just 6 days before it. Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Don't gloss over that word lived, because once upon a time he lived, and then he lived no more, and now he lives again. And so there was celebration in the town, specifically Mary and Martha, and there was a dinner that was given in Jesus' honor. Now they were recognizing that Jesus had done something miraculously in healing or bringing to life one dead Lazarus. And so they had a celebration. They had a party. They had a dinner party for Jesus, and they were celebrating what he had done. That's the context. Keep in mind, Jesus knows in 6 days the Passover's coming. It will be his last. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. That's standard operating procedure, wouldn't you say, for Martha? That was her giftedness. That was her modus operandi, and Martha was serving, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Interesting that there's no rebuke here from Martha of Lazarus or of Mary that you would have seen earlier in Luke 10, and we'll get there in a moment. But Mary, verse 3, took about a pint of pure nard. I understand, as I've read, that was worth about a year's wage. So you could work your job for a whole year, take every dime you earned all year long, and buy with it this expensive perfume that she purchased. It was hers. She took about a pint of it, and she poured it on his feet. Now, the other Gospels record this account as well, and I think what she did is she dumped out the whole bottle of perfume on Jesus, because the other Gospel writers record it was on his head and his body and his feet. Mary poured out everything that she had. But it's interesting to me that John says she poured it out on his feet. Skip back a chapter to John chapter 11, verse 32. John 11, verse 32. This was after Lazarus had died. and Jesus comes after his death to the place where Mary and Martha lived and where Lazarus had lived. And Martha greets him first before he gets there. Then Mary gets word in verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Okay, go back a book to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I love this story. Brief, poignant. Luke 10:38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You know, as I study this passage and I look at the life of Mary, I'm envious. I might give this one a new sermon title and call it, "She Got It." This lady, it seems like every time we run into her in the scriptures, she's at Jesus' feet. That's sort of where she hung out. And you know what Jesus said in Luke? He said, "That's the right place to be." And so we come here in John chapter 12, and they're having this party, and they're celebrating that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and it was at Simon the leper's house, probably, that he had healed from leprosy, and they're just having a big shindig for Jesus, and up comes Mary with this pint of very expensive perfume. And you need to understand, she probably wasn't allowed to recline at the table with Jesus. That's where the guys hung out. And so this is pretty startling what she does. And she most likely would not have let her hair down in public. That would be a no-no. But what Mary does here is she comes with this pint of expensive perfume and she pours it over Jesus and onto his feet, and she takes her hair and she wipes his feet with it. Now, before you get mad at Judas and before you start saying how terrible he was, let's change the name and pretend you don't know anything about this guy. And let's say it was Peter, and he's watching this. And I don't doubt if we had sat there and watched that, we might begin to think, what is she doing? I mean, what are you doing here at the table? Why do you have your hair down like you do? And why did you pour all that expensive perfume on Jesus? And by the way, the whole place smelled with this wonderful fragrance of Christ as Mary poured her heart out onto Jesus. Verse 4, but one of his disciples. Now, you know him, so you can't just read it objectively, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, and John can't help but tell us who he really is, who was later to betray him, objected. I just really wonder if I would have objected as well. I probably wouldn't have been so bold as Judas to speak up and correct Mary, but I wonder if in my heart I would have been saying, "Hey, man, what is she doing wasting that expensive perfume?" And Judas objects. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor?" Now, do you think Judas was really concerned about the poor? Nice try, Judas, but you didn't fool Jesus, and you sure didn't fool John when Jesus let it be known to him later. It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, John tells us, but because he was a thief. You see, Judas was the treasurer, And the treasurer of all people speaks up. See, he runs the numbers. He probably had his calculator out and was figuring out the cost of that perfume and how many hours of work it would take to get it. And so, of course, the treasurer looks up and goes, you know, this is a lot of money that we could invest in the poor, but that's not really what was going through his mind. What was really going through his mind is cha-ching, cha-ching, because that money could have gone into the bags. And you know what he did? He used to just kind of sit down by the bag because he was the treasurer, and he'd just kind of reach in there and he'd take a little bit for himself and stick it in his pocket. You can check my pockets, there's none in it. That's what Judas was worried about. Hey, all that could have been sold and stuck in the offering plate, and I could have gotten some of it. Instead, you're wasting it on him. What a waste! A year's wages poured out. For what? Sermon title, She Got It, He Didn't. Don't you just love what comes next? You read ahead, right? I mean, of all things, to have Jesus come to your defense. What a picture of what he does before the Father on our behalf. He comes to your defense, believer. Watch this. Leave her alone. He was in the face of Judas. Back off, Judas. Leave her alone. She gets it. You don't. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. It's here, you guys. It's about to happen. She did save this. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Now, please don't take this passage as a thesis on the poor. It is not. What Jesus is saying to Judas is, okay, Judas, I'll give you that you're really concerned about the poor, but let me tell you something. What she did shows that I'm even more valuable, more honorable, more important than the poor that you care for. I don't think Jesus is saying, forget about the poor and don't care for them. That would be inconsistent with the rest of Scripture. That's not what he's saying here. He is saying that this is more important. You're missing it. You don't get it, Judas, because you don't have proper focus. You're not focused in on who I am. You don't understand who I am, and the rest of your world doesn't make any sense. And I'm here to tell you that if Christ isn't paramount in your life, the rest of your world won't make sense. It won't work. It won't fit. It won't look right. And you will spend your life trying to make it work, and it never will. Me, as I look at this, I see that Judas was looking for something and he didn't even know what it was. Ian and I like to look through the Where's Waldo books. Have you done that? There's a little dude with the red and white striped shirt, and there's this page full of detail that'll make you go cross-eyed. And we go through that together sometimes, but you not only find Waldo, there's Oddlaw, and there's all kinds of people in there, and there's binoculars that are like that big, and they're in this big page, and you're looking for all that stuff. And it's hard enough to find, but suppose you didn't know anything about Where's Waldo, you didn't know anything about any of those people in there, and we said, just look and find. Find what? Well, that's where Judas was. Judas was looking for who knows what. He didn't. But he was looking for something to fill the void in his life, and he was trying to stuff money in it, and it wasn't helping. It wasn't helping. And that's sort of what I see of Judas. And Jesus tells him to leave her alone. Verse 9, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, and they came. Word got out, which is really kind of astounding, because word was put out by the Sadducees, by the Sanhedrin, if you guys see Jesus, let us know. We need to know that. And they were out to kill him. Somehow word got out and nobody let the Sanhedrin know, or they were afraid to go. I don't know. But in any case, word gets out and people are flocking over there to see this guy who raised the man from the dead and who did the healings that Jesus did. not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests, this is hilarious to me, the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. Okay, I think that was already tried and it didn't go over too well. When Jesus raised him from the dead, it kind of helped his cause, not yours. You guys can kill him again and Jesus can raise him from the dead again if he wants to. You're welcome to go that route if you want, but it really doesn't work. Or you look at the chief priests and everybody that draws attention to Jesus, we'll just kill all of those people and then we won't have any problems after we get rid of Jesus, right? Get a clue, you guys. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. See, I think they were still planning and they were trying to make this thing look good still, that it was a right thing and they had to get rid of Jesus and now they got to get rid of Lazarus too. And, I don't know, do you go down the list and the guys that he's healed, do you have to kill them too? And this is going to get messy, okay? What's going on here? Well, I told you basically in a nutshell what I think's going on. She got it and he didn't. Do you? Do you get it? Do you know who this is? It would seem to me that Mary knew who this was, and that's why she did what she did. And as she did what she did, she got to know more and more of who he was. And I'll tell you why I think Mary got it. Because she was at the feet of Jesus. And you won't get it if you're not at his feet. And you won't get it at his feet if you don't understand who he is. And that's a gift from God, to see Jesus for who he is. And Mary had that gift. And Mary understood. And so she invested her life at the feet of Jesus. She honored him. You ought to honor him too. So how? Well, as I look at this passage, there are three things I want you to see. And the first is this: abandon yourself. You can't honor Jesus and you at the same time. It doesn't work that way. And if you're holding on to the offering plate, mind you, like he was, if you're holding on to your stuff like others did, if you're holding on to your position, if you're holding on to your rights, if you're holding on to your pleasures, if you're holding on to anything above the Lord Christ, you're not honoring him. So is there something that you need to release the grip of in your life? Maybe you've never tithed because you're doing this and you think, if I ever do, I'll lose control. I have to hold on to my stuff. And so instead of in obedience out of love for the Lord and giving to him, you've held on to it. And you've fought this battle in your heart and your life. Maybe you've never honored God with your money. How'd that work for Judas? Can I encourage you to release your grip and go, God, here it's yours. Show me what to do with all of it. How about your time? Man, I got to have some time to kick back and it's just my time and it's me time. How about Jesus' time? Have you learned how to relax in his presence? It strikes me as interesting and quite convicting that when Jesus was in need of a rest and needed some time away, he didn't go watch TV. He went and got with his father and he talked to his daddy. And I fear at times we've gotten so consumed with stuff that we've forgotten how to relax with the Lord. Don't hear me saying that all TV is evil. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is, have you cultivated a quiet before your Father? Do you know how to rest in his presence? Instead of clinging to my time, do you give your time to him? Say, God, here I start this day with 24 hours. How do I invest it for you? You know, this gets down to the nitty-gritty. Lord, am I taking care of my body? Am I eating like I should? Am I resting like I should? Am I taking care of me so that I can better serve you? What are you doing with the time God's given to you? What are you doing with the strength that He's given to you? This is where honoring God is convicting, right? God, here's this car you've entrusted to me. How do I use it for you? She got it. And so she takes her expensive perfume and goes, here. And with that perfume, she pours her heart out on the living Christ. And sometimes I fear that we're just tossing cheap tokens of time to the Lord Jesus. Here, that'll satisfy you, Jesus. Instead of saying, Lord, here I am. I pour myself out on you. I want to honor you with my life. And that requires that I abandon me. And I don't know about you, but that's the hardest thing for me to get rid of, is me. Abandon yourself. The second thing that I see Mary doing there as she honors Christ is submitting herself. Interesting to me that the scriptures, as I pointed out, repeatedly find Mary at the feet of Christ. And what I think she's doing is she's looking up at her Savior. She's recognizing His authority. She's recognizing that He's over her. She's recognizing that He's more important than anything in this world, including herself. And so as she abandons herself at His feet, she exalts Christ and recognizes His authority, and she submits herself to it. Do we blow His word off when we hear it sometimes? Whew, that doesn't apply to me. Sure hope that dude on the pew next to me was listening. Do you ever do that? Do you ever just kind of blow off the word of God like it really doesn't matter and it really doesn't apply to me? You and I need to pay careful attention when the God of this universe speaks to us through the word of God. We need to listen. We need to recognize the authoritative word of God. It does apply to me. He does have something to say. It's okay to pray for the person on the pew next to you, but only after you pray that God will speak to you as well as them. Submit yourself to His word, even as she did. She honored Him by abandoning herself. She honored Him by submitting herself to Him, by listening to Him. I think the reason that Mary knew what was about to happen to Jesus, and the reason she poured out this perfume in preparation for His burial, is because she had sat at His feet and she had listened to Him, even when He came to Martha and Mary's house some time ago in Luke 10. She listened to Him. She recognized His authority. So, abandon yourself. So, submit yourself. And then thirdly, just adore Him. Just adore Him. I don't think Mary was real concerned what everybody else thought in that place. I think she just threw herself at Jesus. Poured the perfume out on Him, honored Him at His feet, looked up to Him, and wiped His feet with her hair. She had abandoned herself, she was submitting herself to Him, and she was adoring Him. Worship requires an act. Worship requires an object. And you and I will worship something. Bob Dylan put it this way in a song, you got to serve somebody. And I think that's because that's the way God made us. He made us to worship. He made us so that we would indeed worship someone or something. The question is not, do you worship? The question is, whom do you worship, or what do you worship? Whom is the object? Who is it that you worship? Is it the Lord Jesus, or is it you? Is it the Lord Christ, or is it something else? Worship requires an object, and Mary was focused. She had an object. His name was Jesus. Adore Him. Tell Him. It'll cost you something when you do. Give Him what you have. Give Him yourself. Give him your life. Give him your time. Give him your stuff. And when you do, not everyone will appreciate it. In fact, one of his disciples looked over there. But don't get too alarmed. It was Judas, the one who turned his back on Jesus. And he got upset that Mary was pouring her heart out on Jesus. You know why? He didn't get it. Mary got it. So in just a moment, I want you to sing these words if you mean them. If you mean them. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish. Thee will I honor. Thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Abandon yourself. Submit to the Lord Christ daily. All that you have and all that you are, and adore him. Tell him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are indeed more fair than anything or anyone else. And we ask you to forgive us, for there have been times in our lives where we have adored someone or something other than you. May it no longer be true in our lives. May we learn, even as John wanted us to see through the eyes of Mary, the living Christ. May we abandon ourselves at your feet. May we submit to your authority at your feet. And may we adore you as we look up at you. Even now, Father, as we sing to the Lord Christ, may we adore you, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.